Welcome to Tabletop Vagabonds, a D&D 5e actual play podcast set in the homebrew world of Aria. I'm Alex Wright, your DM, and I am joined by the action-packed Amy today.
Well, I am action-packed, thanks Alex. I am Amy, and I'm playing Melinda Rentschnuzzle, the Sky Gnome Warlock. And I am joined by the demure Dave.
Thank you. I'm Dave, I'm playing Finn, the Larsa Artificer, and I am joined by the charming Craig.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, depending on where you are in the world. I'm Craig, I play Volley Willowstar, the 8-year-old Volmine Wild Magic Sorcerer, and I am joined by the analytical Alex.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex. I gave too long of a pause because I was trying really hard not to go, ooh.
I thought you were. I was like, he's trying not to say ooh.
Give in to the ooh, Alex. Give in.
Embrace the ooh.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex. I play Osric the Gear Gnome Forge Cleric. And with me today, as ever, is the adroit Alex, our DM.
I honestly and all actually don't know what that word means, but hey, thank you. I appreciate it. You could actually just insult me massively for all I know. Right.
There was a few I found that were insults, but I'd have checked to make sure that I don't insult you deliberately or accidentally where possible. I called you quick or skillful or adept in action or thought. So I'm just saying you're generically quite good.
Oh, every day is a school day.
Then I take you lads from you every day, yeah, for sure. Well, thank you very much, Alexander. So...
What the hell? Did you put an S in the middle of his name?
Alexander. Alexander.
It's your own fucking name. How do you mispronounce your own name?
I am Alexander. Alexander.
No, you said Alexander.
Yeah, it's true.
You put an S instead of an X in there.
Okay, let's carry on. So, last session, the gang probably had the worst time of their lives.
Well, it started off really good.
So far,
yeah. So they decided to nap with the Koyang in order to converse with the god Raldi. Each of the gang were transported to their own mini dream world, which very quickly became a nightmare world. The only person who managed to escape this was the one and only master of manipulations and manifestations, Melinda Rentschnuzzle.
Well, thank you. I'm getting that on a business card as soon as I get back to a town.
She managed to rescue the rest of the gang. However, and they don't know this, but I had decided they could only rescue 4 people before the rest would be destroyed.
Oh, my.
Okay?
Wait, destroyed?
Well, vanished from where their doors would be destroyed. So, without knowing that, she chose to rescue the rest of the gang.
But the rest of the podcast would have been me and punk and rock and Zach.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they are destroyed, which they better not be.
So they are safe, but before her, the 3 doors for Zag, punk and rock vanished into the ether. The doors for Zag, punk and rock destroyed. The gang was stood with the mist all around them. In the distance was an archway that creates light, and suddenly they heard a booming voice saying that they shouldn't be here and that their friends have been lost into the nightshade. And that is where we'll be picking up.
Well, I'll reiterate what I finished with last time. Who are you? What is this?
Where's Zag? Where's Zag? Who are you? Where's my panda?
So in front of you stands this giant 8-foot red creature with spikes all over his body and a giant sword over its shoulder.
Are you sure this isn't what Zag dreams of himself being like?
It's entirely possible, Osric, but we will suspend belief until... Well, I mean, I don't know. If he nuzzles up to me, then that will be Zag. Do you want to nuzzle up to me, big creature?
Why are you in the mist?
Why are you in the mist?
Yeah.
We're here to speak to the Koyang. We must have gotten turned around. This doesn't feel like what is supposed to happen.
Mortals are not meant to be in the mist.
We were invited. Raldi invited us.
Raldi invited you.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, also that.
I am Akuma. We Akuma guard the mist. This is the layer between different worlds. Mortals should not be here.
We were told by the representatives of Raldi to go to sleep and join Raldi's dream. And we came here. Well, we went into those nightmare escape door places, but we're now here. Where's Raldi?
This is the space between the planes. This is not where Raldi is. You have gotten lost.
Well, can you show us the way then? We're here now. We need a way out.
Can I have my panda back?
I can show you to Raldi, or I can show you where your friends are.
Friends! Friends!
Can we do both? Friends, then leave this place?
I can show you your friends first, and then take you to Raldi.
Thank you. Sorry for the bother.
That seems like the best of both worlds.
He heavily huffs as he takes his giant sword off his shoulder and just slams it into the ground. And although it's just mist, you see cracks in some type of floor underneath as it stabs and holds itself vertically up.
That felt a bit dramatic.
Sorry.
I can create a doorway into the space where your friends are, but I cannot help you. I know that that place is dangerous. It is a space where lost souls live.
Well, to be honest, I thought you were going to stab us anyway, so the way I see it, we're one up.
Do sprites have souls?
He's going to look at you for a long time.
All living creatures have souls.
So if they have souls, does that mean they're prisoners? In modern technology.
He's going to look at you again.
I don't know of your plane. All I know is they are trapped.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, thank you,
Akuma.
Akuma,
we are Akuma.
Cool, that's awesome. So about that doorway towards our friends? And my pal? My little
yes.
pal, my little buddy?
He's going to put both hands on the handle of his sword, and he seems to mutter something under his breath, and then a crack goes across the floor that then rises up and creates a small archway.
When he mutters under his breath, I turn to Vali and go, I think he's making fun of me.
Maybe. Or maybe all of us. Or maybe it's a spell.
Maybe the last one.
Yeah. Shall I counterspell it? Just to see what happens.
Do you have counterspell?
Yes.
That's badass.
Thank you.
Inside the archway will grow this black and purple liquid that's continuously whirling and seems to hold within the archway's underbelly.
So, that's the way to our friends?
It is. Know this. Mortals are not for this area. That place is specifically for the lost souls. Things of dark essence live inside there and feed off those souls. Be careful. If you die in that world, your body will rot as well.
Two questions. One, how do we get back out? Is it the same as with the other worlds? And two, what's potentially going to attack us in there? How would we best defend or circumnavigate them?
He's going to reach in his belt and hand you a purple crystal. When you hold it, you see the colour changes from yellow to blue to red. It just keeps changing colour.
Cool. Jewellery.
When you are ready to leave, smash this and you will return to the mist.
What if we're not... do we have to be standing next to each other, or... How does it work?
You will need to be touching for it to include all of you.
That's very good to know.
That is a very important question to have asked, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, just very quickly, out of character. Me and Amy were trying to figure out this out before we started. Do we have all of our gear in this dream?
You do, yes.
Okay, cool.
Except Zag. He's technically my gear.
The Akuma is going to lift up his sword again and put it over his shoulder and then sit cross-legged on the floor.
I will be here and lead you to Raldi when you are done.
Okay, guys, I guess one small step.
After you, Finn.
Finn walks through.
As you step through into the archway,
Also, just to confirm, I'm guessing that he handed the crystal to me.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Volley will go through last.
Volley's going to cuck Finn.
No, I just want to ask the guy a question, that's all. So he would wait until everyone's gone through.
So who's going through? Sorry.
Well, yeah, I'm following Finn. Like, I don't know. That's what...
Yeah, I'll ready my hammer and then follow through.
Those that step through the portal, there'll be a moment of insane darkness. The kinds of which you've never known. Just absolutely nothing. And in that darkness, you will hear cries, whimpers, begs. The sound of hope dying.
Dark.
And then you step through and you're back into a world of some kind. And what you are in, and it'll take you a second to realize this, is some sort of factory where across the plain there are races of all kinds working at various stages, doing something, putting metal here, forging. There's blacksmiths, there's mechanical creatures, there's all kinds of things happening. And they're all chained up in small groups with these green ethereal chains going from one to another. And each one looks dead and emotionally gone, as though they are mindlessly walking and completing their tasks.
So imagine Azkaban and Dementors.
Yes, but what strikes you most is that no one even reacts to you just appearing here. People are just walking past as though you don't even exist. And we're going to cut to Volley quickly.
Yeah, just before I step through, I kind of stop and I turn to the guy and I go, Are you a god?
I am a Kuma.
Is that a god?
No, we serve the gods. We are a Kuma.
Oh. Okay. And then he steps through.
And then, Volley, you go through the exact experience that they all have just now.
Yeah.
I feel like we could definitely have just done that in conversation one before we all set through.
I mean, that's why I said it first, but no, never mind.
I think you made it sound like you wanted to do something that was like not in front of us.
Yeah.
No. Just wanted to ask the question.
So that is where you're at. And we come back to the factory. Volley arrives, and spattered among the chained up races, you see these tall, 7-foot, grey-skinned creatures with long lashing tongues and pointed ears and incredibly long fingers that all come to a point of sharp claws. And they are walking about through these people and occasionally lashing one or kicking one on.
So they look friendly?
Yes. They look like they want a hug.
Are there any chained up Volmine that I can see?
No.
Okay.
I think we should probably avoid those guys. They look like they're in charge around here.
So I shouldn't shout out for Zag, Punk and Rock.
I
don't think so.
Let's keep a low profile.
So in terms of if I look around, is there a huge variety of size of people?
Yes.
Because I'm assuming there are like chains for sprites as well as for larger humanoids.
Yes, there are creatures of all kinds. There are some you don't even recognize. And they all work. And you see small sprites, you see gnomes, Bajani, and then creatures you don't even know, humans, so on and so forth. Finn, you're going to feel the crystal you were given start vibrating.
I look at it.
In it, you will see... Who are you thinking of right now, in terms of who are you desperate to find?
Zag.
Okay.
Did you need to ask that question?
Finn, you're going to see Zag in the crystal, and the top of it, as though it's a pointer, will start glowing. And as you move the crystal around, you realize that light will move forever fixed on one point of the crystal.
Guys, I think we can use the crystal as a locator. It's pointing me towards Zag, I think.
Great, let's follow it, but definitely let's stay out of the way of those guys and try and blend in as much as you can.
Well, if I'm leading with the crystal, shall I roll stealth for the party?
Yes, please, roll stealth for the party, because these creatures are walking through the throngs of workers.
Okay, that's 15.
Okay, you're fine. You can work through. None of them are paying you attention, although you get fairly close to one, but they are focused on other people.
It's times like this, I wish you were a druid, Mal. Then we could do Pass Without Trace.
I know.
Fucking love Pass Without Trace. Such a broken spell. So yeah, we'll head in the direction assuming everyone's following Finn.
Mm-hmm.
We'll head in the direction that the crystal's pointing me towards.
I want to stay near that crystal.
You walk through the factory and you get pretty close to one of these creatures, and all of you smell this repugnant visceral disease emanating from it. I need all of you to roll Constitution for me, please.
A save?
Yes, please. Difficulty 10.
Oh, dear.
Dirty 20.
I rolled 5, so I did not pass.
Constitution save.
19.
Melinda's going to start vomiting in the dream world. Sounds about right.
18.
Con saves are one of the things that Finn's actually good at.
Anyone who didn't get over 10, which I think is just you, Melinda, you are now poisoned.
Great. What does that mean?
That means that you get disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks.
Oh, that just, I feel like so ill. My head.
Finn, you're going to, as you're leading them, you're going to bump into a large Bajani who's going to walk unaware of you and bump into you. And when he does, for a split second, as your skin touches his, you are transported into a dark room where you hear crying, where you look and you see the Bajani knelt over cradling a dead cub. And as quickly as you see that, you are then back out as his skin stops touching you.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What did you see, Finn?
I saw his child's death. I felt his sorrow. Don't touch any of them. It's horrifying.
Who are these people?
The damned. I think we actually might be in hell.
Let's get out of here as soon as we can.
I can't agree more. I recenter myself and try and find the way again.
As you're walking, Finn, and leading the group, the light on your crystal gets larger and larger, which you could only logically assume means you're getting closer to what you're looking for. Who's actually looking at the world around them when this is happening? Who's actually trying to gauge the world?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, as I'm leading, I definitely would be.
Roll perception. I'll allow two of you to roll perception. So let's say the leader and whoever... Who spoke first? So Osric and Finn.
Yeah, perception. Osric, yeah.
Oof, for once, this is normally my time to roll a 1, but I got a 19.
I got an 8. Thank God you rolled as well.
So, Finn, you're too obsessed with trying to find Zag. Everyone else is seeing these workers that are chained, but not really looking deeper than that. Osric, you recognize some of what they're making. Not because you know it specifically, but you can tell by what's being made, it's armor, it's weapons. Things are being crafted for war.
This is a war forge. A nightmare war forge.
What? Why would they be making weapons in hell?
What army is this for? And what are they using it on?
This doesn't make any sense. Do you think this is just a dream too?
We can only hope.
I don't know anymore.
I dread to think what this means for the rest of us.
Finn... You see Zag, he is attached to two humans with a green ethereal shackle, and he seems to be carrying a large plate of metal that's fashioned in a semicircle, like a pauldron for a shoulder.
Okay. How are the chains attached to him?
They are around their necks.
Okay, neck.
And they're ethereal, so you can see through them. They're there and not there at the same time.
Okay. Can I go over to Zag and... turn him off and take his hat off?
Yeah. So you touch him, and immediately upon touching him, you'll be transported.
Oh, fuck, I forgot that.
I need to know what everyone else is doing when you do that, because Finn will suddenly stay rock still.
What is it Zag's worst nightmare? Like,
you're about to find out.
Hey, at least you know he's got a soul.
Yeah, I'm about to say, he's only been alive like 2 days.
He's got a soul.
Probably missing on every time he's trying to kill something. So I guess I would come and stand near Finn, not immediately break him off it, but I'm looking for like signs of distress or and like what's going on around him.
Finn is standing completely still in a way, although his eyes are just essence, so there's not really focus. You can feel that he's not responding to you being there.
Finn?
Okay, well, yeah, I probably would try and stop him from touching them, Zag, since he said don't touch the people.
The moment you touch Finn, you will also turn rock solid.
Oh, God.
The other two, what are you doing?
Am I back in Finn's nightmare again? Or?
We're going to follow you in a second. I need to know what the other two are doing.
Has Melinda stopped rock solid with her hand touching Finn?
Yeah.
All right. Osric, help.
Yeah, I I don't think it's a good idea to go any closer than we already are. Let's.
But Finn saved me.
I don't think touching them is saving. We should. Is there anything else we could do? Is there a... There's no items we could grab, nothing we could sort of drag them away with.
You could.
The big hammer you're holding?
Yeah, you could use your hammer to push them. You've push got one of them off.
Fucking
one.
Hammer.
What? This? I would like to gently try and hook the hammer around Mal's ankle and pull her softly away from.
Okay.
Not just move her hand away. Her ankle. Oh.
Yeah.
Nope, you've done it. You've done it.
She like falls forward and face plants. Okay.
I'm famously unsteady on my feet.
Okay, so we're going to cut quickly to Finn and Mal. Finn and Mal, you appear in a dark room covered in metal. It takes you a second to get your bearings, but in front of you, you hear the shouting of yourself, Finn, and Melinda, and Volley, and Osric. You hear those voices. You look, and in front of you, curled up on the floor, covering its face, you see Zag, and standing over it, you see a version of yourselves that's been contorted with rage, and their faces are aggressive and not yours, but you can see the similarities of who you are, and they're all shouting at him.
Why do you keep missing, Zag?
They're shouting at him, telling him he's stupid, and he missed, and he's doing it wrong, and they're all, their sharp fingers and their sharp teeth, that they scream a visceral anger at this curled up little metal creature.
Zag!
I run over and try and just sort of dive on Zag and cradle him.
Finn, the distorted, sharp-taloned hand of this strange version of you just grabs you by the neck as you try to get to Zag. Okay, so I need you two things. One, I need you to roll wisdom for Zag.
God.
Wisdom save.
Oh, an 18.
Perfect. So Zag is going to wake up from the nightmare and look at you confused. I also need you and Melinda to roll initiative.
Ooh.
God damn it. That is a 13 for Finn.
I got a nat 20, so I got 22.
Does Zag roll initiative? Oh, wait, no, sorry. He shares my initiative.
He will, but right now he won't be fighting. So you're lucky you both react first. Melinda, it's your turn first.
So am I seeing anything that's a threat right now?
Yeah, so what you see is the distorted version of Finn will grab the real Finn by the neck.
Okay, yeah. I'm not very strong, but I think my initial knee-jerk reaction would be to run over and try and grab Finn.
Okay.
The good one or the bad one?
So, strength?
Yeah, roll strength. Try to pull the good Finn away from the bad Finn.
Exactly, yes.
Melinda grabs the bad Finn and says, Finn, we got to get out of here, and takes him away.
I got 18. I'm so happy with that because I have minus one on the strength. Oh, I'm really... That's great.
I'm going to roll... That's probably going to do it, but I'll roll the strength of the weird version of him.
In this mist, Melinda is strong. Oh, hang on. No, I need to have disadvantage.
Oh, yes, you do. Yeah, you need disadvantage.
Fuck.
Why?
Why, Amy? Why?
Because I'm poisoned.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Why did you say it?
I know, but... I'm poisoned, so I think about being strong and then...
So you could have got an 18, but you're poisoned, so you got an 8. And the other doppelganger Finn got a 12. So Melinda, you pull and you don't quite manage to reach him away. And then all of a sudden, and Finn, you see this, she vanishes in dust. She just vanishes from that scene.
No!
Oh, God.
So next in the action is good Finn.
So I've just seen Mal disappear. What have you done to Mal? Finn will try to pick up Zag and say, Zag, you've got to find something that's familiar. You've got to locate something important so we can get out of here.
Zag's going to look at you, still quite upset, and go,
Zag, you're incredibly precious to me. We need to get out of here. I need to save you. You'll never fail me, Zag. As long as you try, you'll never fail.
I will allow you, when you say that, to roll a wisdom for Zag.
With advantage?
Yes. I'll allow you to roll a wisdom with advantage for Zag if you're encouraging him and telling him that his nightmare isn't real.
15. Oh, no, that's an 8. Fuck me.
And you tell that Zag doesn't believe it. He spent the last who knows how long living this nightmare of all of you hating him.
Okay, I will try and pick up Zag and put some distance between me and the apparition.
You can't. That was your action. Was basically
yeah, but movement's separate to your action.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you're trying to run.
Yeah.
Okay. Evil Finn's turn. Finn is going to come after you, and he goes on all fours, and he runs on all fours at you, and then is going to jump and try and take a bite out of you.
Does his mask like open up like it's got fangs in it instead of the way it would normally look?
Exactly. That's a 10. And then a 22.
Let me double.
A 22 will definitely hit.
Roll with disadvantage.
Oh, because of Zag, is it?
Because Zag's next to me. So, defender imposes disadvantage on the attack roll of one creature it can see within 5 feet of it, provided the attack roll is against a creature other than the defender.
That's 17.
That's bang on.
So,
my AC.
1d6 plus 2. So that's 8 damage. And I need you to make a constitution saving throw. DC 12.
16.
You're fine. We're going to quickly cut before anyone else reacts to Melinda. Melinda, you fall face first onto the floor, barely not breaking your nose in the process, and you realise that there is a hammer around your ankle.
Is it the impact that wakes me up, so it's actually me falling to the floor?
Yeah,
let's go with that.
Oh! Ow! And then I guess I'll look up. What happened?
You froze.
What did you see?
Oh, God. Oh, Zag's nightmare. He was trying to get Zag out. He thought we were all yelling at him. Oh, I don't know. I think that evil Finn had got Finn.
What?
I was about to say, I'm certain that sentence makes sense to them.
That's what I'm saying.
Evil Finn what?
It was like the dreams, you know, the evil versions of your friends that you saw in your dreams. But for Zag, it was us.
I didn't see any friends.
Oh.
In my dream.
Sorry?
Not your fault? Maybe I don't have any evil friends. That's a good thing, right?
Anyway, I think maybe we should try waking Finn up.
We could try and drag him away as well, but I'm not sure what that would mean for Zag.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's very true. Okay, let's give him a bit longer. Hopefully he'll reappear here soon.
Okay, so we're going to cut back to Finn and Zag.
Just thinking, unless we should go and help, but, you know.
Finn yells, "Oh, I sure hope some backup shows up!" Would be real shit if they just stood there holding their dicks waiting for me to come back.
Melinda's very confused and sick.
Finn, the evil version of Osric, also gets down on all fours and races towards you.
As I'm about to get plowed by fucking 4 people.
19 to hit.
Yep. Yeah, that hits then.
8 damage.
Okay.
And roll Constitution, DC 12.
23.
Okay, you're fine.
Is he? He's just taking 16 damage.
I can't take much more. I'm legit going to die if this keeps going.
The third one is going to race at you.
Remember that moment where you all laughed at Folly for not giving good information? I feel like this is that on steroids.
19.
Fucking burn your dice!
3 damage. Roll Constitution for me.
22.
As this evil version of Melinda, Finn, Osric, and Volley just start tearing at you, Finn, as you cradle Zag in your arms.
Is this a nat 20?
A dirty 20.
Okay.
That'll hit!
5 damage.
Absurd.
Roll Constitution for me.
10.
You are poisoned.
Of course I am.
Is that a saving throw? Sorry, Dave.
Yes.
It is now your turn.
I have to try and wake Zag, because even if I get full dice rolls on my heel, they can still kill me. Okay. Zag! Ah! Zag, you've got to wake up! Zag, I believe in you! Something Disney characters would say!
Zag in your arms looks up at you as you tell him you believe in him, while all these creatures are scratching up at you, tearing you. Roll with advantage a wisdom save for Zag.
You can do it!
I swear to God. 16.
That'll do it.
Thank God!
You see Zag look up to you and a flicker of realization that you do actually care about him.
Out of curiosity, do I still take all the damage that I've received in here in actuality?
No. And then you are back in the factory, your hand on Zag where you tried to switch him off, and you're able to move again. And Zag looks up at you, and the green ethereal chain that's around his neck and the two humans behind him just evaporates.
I pick him up and hug him.
Like a child telling a parent how horrible their nightmare was, he just makes noises into your shoulder.
It's all right, Zag, it's all right. Thanks for the help, guys!
Melissa, to give you a minute.
Melinda, gave you a minute. Were wrong! I came so close to dying!
Finn, keep your voice down. Those things over there will hear you. Oh, God, my head hurts so much from being in that dream.
If I was to quantify how hurt I was 6 hurt away from dying.
You suddenly hear a voice that's not part of the gang. Where? Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you turn to see the two humans who also had chains around their necks. Thank you for doing that. And the first bit of recognition from any of the people in this factory, they clearly see you and are speaking directly to you before they fade away.
Yep. Oh, so he's just disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean, you're welcome. Who were you?
That was strange.
This whole place is strange.
I guess if their chains are linked, if you free one, you free the adjoining persons.
There's nothing good for anyone here. If we can help people, we should, but we need to remember why we're in here and not get stuck as well.
Yes. I think we need to find Pumpkin Rock, and if we can get out on the way and help some others, great. But I just don't want to make those guys angry at us and end up in this horrible state ourselves. Already escaped once.
There might be a legitimate reason why some of them are here, so we don't want to start releasing dangerous people.
Absolutely. I hope we didn't do that already.
Where is here? Where are we?
The Akuma guy said it was like a holding area or a place where lost souls were getting the life sucked out of them.
But why?
That would probably be a good question for him.
Hmm.
Volley, do you want to try the crystals, see if you can find Punk and Rock? You'll probably have a clearer picture of them than I do.
Sure. Do I just think of them?
Yeah, that's what I did with Zag. I didn't even realize it was happening till it happened. I just really wanted to find him, and the crystal just showed me the way.
Okay.
I hand him the crystal.
Volley takes the crystal and then holds it in the air kind of ceremoniously. Lead the way to Pumpkin Rock.
You see in the crystal Pumpkin Rock.
Mm-hmm.
The light comes on in the end. It points off to the left. Exactly the same as it was for Finn. It moves like a compass.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to roll stealth as you walk through this factory of weapon making and armor making with these ghastly gray creatures moving throughout the throngs of people.
I will see what I can do, but I am a creaky tree. And this creaky tree rolled a 3.
So as you lead the group, and you look down at the crystal, get excited because it gets larger, and you know you're quite close to them. You bump straight into this tall, extremely smelly creature as it turns, and its tongue just laps across its body.
I don't think I'd notice at first because I'm looking at the crystal. So I'd bump into it, go, oh, sorry, and then just try to carry on walking.
Roll initiative.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
Yeah, I really don't want to.
18.
7.
22.
9.
Osric, can you do anything to help me from being poisoned?
As a cleric, you'd really hope I could, but no.
Okay, so first to act is Finn. As you see this, for lack of a better term, creature, just its tongue lashing up the bark of Volley as it gets closer, and you can see it's about to move to attack him.
Finn steps back and lets it attack us and goes, "This is for leaving me in the dream world, you fucks!"
So Finn will shout to Zag, "Zag, it's time to go, buddy. I believe in you." He sends him to help Volley and therefore give the guy disadvantage on his attack when he goes for it. And Finn will say, "Stay away from my friend!" And he will take a shot with his gun.
Okay.
That is a 24.
Remember that you're poisoned, sorry.
Yes.
Fuck.
Disadvantage.
Oh, wait, no. You said it. That what happened in that dream doesn't affect me out here.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. Okay. It's true.
Okay. And I'll also do a branding smite off the back of that as well. So.
Okay.
I roll damage and then I'll roll for the branding smite. So that's 13 damage initially and another 10. So 23 damage total.
Ooh.
Jesus.
On the first attack.
Okay.
I've got a second attack.
Just unload a bullet into his chest.
Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive.
I take a second shot. It's 10.
That won't hit.
Okie dokie. And I sort of move round to sort of support Folly.
It's the creature's move now. It took a shot to the chest. The second bullet missed it as it dodged around.
The smite damage. It's radiant damage. If it's weak to radiant damage, it does double.
No.
Okay. It becomes visible if it's invisible. It sheds dim light in a 5-foot radius and can't become invisible until the spell ends.
No.
Cool.
None of the above. So you shoot it once, it then uses Volley to dodge your second shot, and then it's going to dive straight at you, because you're right next to Volley anyway.
Okay.
So it's going to
swipe. With disadvantage, yeah?
Yes. With disadvantage, it's going to swipe.
Oh, sorry, we didn't do Zag's attack.
Okay, do Zag's.
He takes his attack just after me. Haha, Zag's probably gonna hit. So that's a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Ooh, max damage as well. 10 damage. With a gleam of newfound confidence in his eye due to the belief in him from Finn, Zag flies up, smacks him across the head with his tail, and then does double cross claw swipes in a super, like, Wolverine ninja move. And then drops down to the floor like a character in a DreamWorks Kung Fu Panda film, does a battle stance, ready to go.
The creature looks incredibly injured, but it's still alive.
Great job, Zag! I knew you could do it!
My favourite part of DMing is just playing Zag. It's then going to swipe at Zag.
Oh, so it's going to swipe at Zag, not me?
Yeah.
Okay, so it isn't going to get disadvantage.
Well, it's the last thing to hit him, kind of going for that logic.
Fair.
Does he get two attacks or one attack? I hope he gets two attacks, because that was fucking terrible. No? It gets a 10. No, 11. I'm assuming it doesn't hit.
Misses.
You see it scratching, but Zag manages to dodge it, and its tongue lashes around its neck in frustration. Next is Volley. Volley, you start your turn within 5 feet of it. Roll constitution for me.
On a save?
Yes. Gotta beat 10.
15.
Okay.
I'm pretty happy with that turn. I think I did 33 damage.
Volley is going to kind of move around a little bit just to put a bit of distance between him because I'm weak and squishy as fuck.
If you do that, you get some attack of opportunity on you.
I'd still move away.
Okay.
Because Volley's not going to... Why would Volley think that?
Well, you can always use the disengage action.
That's the other option, is you just disengage and you can't do anything.
Yeah, Volley's going to do that.
Okay.
I'm just going to run behind Osric.
Okay. Whee!
I mean, if nothing else, I'm a living shield, so that's something.
Gonna have some kind of use.
And next it is the shield's turn.
Okay, with Volley running behind me, I'm going to get my hammer ready and give a quick assessment of the battlefield. So what exactly do I see? I can see Finn and Zag in engagement.
Roll perception for me, please, because there's something else you could see if you're looking around, gauge what's happening. A fight is breaking up in the middle of a factory of incredibly docile workers, and the gunshots have gone off.
Yep, 19.
Yeah, so on different levels and on different parts of the ground floor, other creatures like this are turning and heading towards this area.
Okay, so how many have we got with us right now? Is it two?
One.
But there are many more coming.
Yeah. One is currently fighting with Zag, was next to Volley, and is next to Finn.
Let's get this over with quickly then.
Fingers crossed.
Meta-wise, you know what I'm like when I roll to hit. Oh, I got a 20, but it's dirty, unfortunately.
That will hit, though.
Right.
Come on, roll big, Alex.
6. He's got 7, hasn't he? He's got fucking 7.
Osric, finish the creature.
Right, I'm going to storm in and use my hammer like a golf club. I'm just going to bat him out of the way. And ideally turn around and say, okay, we need to get going. They've noticed us.
Great job, Osric.
Nice.
Volley, lead us towards Pumpkin Rock.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Volley, what's the way?
As long as it's not towards the ones that are coming towards us.
So there are creatures that are coming down from higher up levels, and there are some on the floor, but it's a very big factory. Hundreds of these workers are there. So they're all trying to get you, but there are creatures of all sizes as well. So they're, you know, it's the action film where we're looking over various different crowds trying to figure out where you are. So roll dex to get to Pumpkin Rock before they get to you.
If Volley is leading, can we use his role for the whole party? Because I don't really want to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll allow that.
19. It wasn't nat 20, but I have a minus 1.
Oh, nat 20 still.
Thank you, Craig.
Nat 20 overrides it, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, nat 20 then.
Yeah, okay. So you rush to where the crystal's pointing. The crystal gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and it gets right there, and you see a series of about 60 different sprites all connected by an ethereal collar. Mm-hmm. And it takes you a second. They're all wearing different clothes. They all look different. And it takes you a second to realize which one's Punk and Rock. And again...
Are they next to each other?
They are next to each other. There's no recognition in their face. They're just working as they all pass down small little bits of metal and connect them down the line.
Finn, when you touched Zag, it took you into Zag's dream, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what happens if I touch them both at the same time. And then I go to touch both of them at the same time.
Okay.
Volley, that seems incredibly dangerous. Oh, God.
I'm assuming they don't share a dream. This is an assumption I'm making now.
No, they don't share a dream.
The nightmare is that they're apart.
Your soul is split in two.
That sounds incredibly painful.
What's the rule for that? Flip a coin or roll a 2D.
Odds and evens.
I'll roll a D20. Got 11, so you decide which one is odds, which one is evens.
Yeah, so... You go to Rock's world first. Is it just Volley that's going in there? Is anyone else going in there?
Knowing what I know about how it went with Zag, I'll say, guys, I think for the sake of safety and speed, we should go in too.
Should not somebody stay here to try and fight this thing?
I volunteer.
Okay, Osric, we're counting on you.
Finn, without any thought, grabs him.
Just before I go in, I'm going to cast a Thermaturgy, which will mean that I can create a loud noise, and I want it to be in an area of my choice, so far away from where we're stood.
Okay.
It can be an ominous whisper. Over here, there's something going on over here. Gonna fuck shit up over here.
Okay.
Somebody should really stop me. I'm really disquieting the status quo.
The way we're going to do this then is Folly roll initiative for the group that are in the world. Osric roll for your life outside of that dreamscape.
Oh, jeez. We just walked straight into a fight.
Can you tell me what rolling for my life means?
No,
he means roll initiative.
Roll initiative.
I was about to say, yeah. Of all the people, we shouldn't have left Alex far out here if he's rolling for his life.
Sorry, the only ones that need to roll a volley in Osric, just so there's a representative from each group, if that makes sense.
8.
I got 12.
So Volley's going to go first. Okay, you appear in a room, and a second later, Finn and Melinda appear next to you. It's a classroom. You can tell by the board and the professor that's talking, but all that's sat is a chair with a mechanical device on, holding a small sprite with its eyes held open, a la Clockwork Orange. Mm-hmm. And the teacher is speaking pretty much just gibberish, but occasionally you understand certain phrases, such as, there will be a test in 2 hours. The upper malleolar ligament, or ear canal, or fluid within the cochlear tunnel. And then it's just gobbledygookly noises. And even those phrases you understand, you don't know why you understand them or what even some of them mean, possibly. Mm-hmm. But he's just saying those things, and you see this sprite just held down on this chair with this device holding its eyes open, and it's just staring, and it's wriggling to try and break free.
Can I just try and break him free?
Yeah, you can.
I'll just run over it. Rock, let's go! And then I'll try and peel the little things out of his eyes and bust him free.
Oh, God, Valley! Valley, is that you?
Yes, me. Come on, we're going to go.
Oh, I'm in hell, Valley.
Yeah, me too.
I've been in class for hours and hours.
Roll strength to break him out.
This is the lamest place I've ever been, Valley. Oh, God.
2.
2?
Yeah.
You're trying to get him out, but he's just like...
Valley, come on, man. Give it a bit of a gumption. Come on, get back into it.
I'm trying. It's surprisingly strong for such tiny metal.
Can Finn give him a help action?
Yeah.
Somebody help me!
Is Melinda helping as well?
Yeah. Rock, this is just a dream. You can wake up from this. This isn't real.
It's a classroom. Melinda's in her element.
I mean, yeah.
It still sucks. It really, really sucks, Melinda. I'm going to be honest with you on this one.
I've been in a few worse dreams lately, but you can wake up from this.
How? I'm so idle damn bored. I'm so bored, Melinda. You have no idea.
Can I give him a shake? I guess I don't really know. He's so small, so...
Yeah.
Poke him, I guess.
Rock, try thinking of overthrowing the establishment with music.
I know what you need, Rock. And then as if out of nowhere, you just hear, "Don't break my fart." Start playing. Volley's going to cast Minor Illusion.
No,
I am not singing. Volley just casts it. Boom! And then you hear it. "Don't break my fart." You hear this Bulldog Blubber music echo through the...
Oh, I thought it was going to be, "Don't go breaking my fart."
That's what I thought it was going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Roll.
Don't break him as well.
I'll allow you to roll it. I know his mod, so roll wisdom for Rock.
What's his stat block?
It's got a +2.
10.
He will look at you.
My achy break is that.
Yes, sing it, punk.
Thank you.
And as you start singing, the shackles and the device start coming off of him.
Because if you break my svat, achy break is that.
That's right.
Instantly, you're teleported. We're going to cut to Osric. Osric, you are in combat. One of the creatures has got to you. You are all that stands between your gang, all frozen solid, and the creature getting to them.
Yep, my shield is up and ready.
So it's going to roll to attack you first. Its tongue lashing, it will jump at you with its claws, trying to get past your shield, and it gets a 19.
Nah, my shield's up, mate. It's not getting through me. Tank mode.
Around the sides, you see its tongue kind of lashing around it and above it, behind it, but it just can't get through to you. It's your turn, but I need to draw a con because you're within 5 feet of it.
That's con save, isn't it?
Yeah.
6, bloody hell.
As it's on your shield, its stench goes up your nostrils. Roll con.
I got a 6. Presumably, immediately cough it back out again.
Yep, and you are poisoned now.
Great. Right.
Your turn.
I am going to try and smack it with my hammer.
If we don't remove it, how long does poison last?
I rolled an 18 twice, so even with disadvantage, I still get an 18.
Ooh-wee! Yeah, that hits. That will definitely do it. Fuck you and your inability to be poisoned.
Fuck you, baby. I got an 8 damage.
We're going to do one more round of that, actually, then we'll come back. So it's going to try and hit you again.
Uh-huh.
It gets a nat 1. It claws at your shield and it breaks a nail. It goes... Then it's your turn again.
I mean, it has only had to deal with like very placid things for such a long time. So.
Yeah.
It's got lazy.
Yeah, what? I would have got a 24, but with disadvantage, I got a 9.
Level 9 is not going to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to jump to the rest of the gang. You were in this classroom. You have now been teleported, and you're on... It's hard to tell where you are. Rock is with you on your shoulder, Volley. You are in this metal something, and it's moving. You can tell that the walls above the rim of this metal thing are moving, and suddenly a metal scoop will come down and go into the tray and come down and try and scoop you all up. If you're trying to dodge it, you don't have to, but if you're trying to dodge it, roll dex.
I think instinctively, Volley would try and dodge it.
Yeah, I agree.
Melinda, Volley, and Finn, what did you get to dodge the scoop?
I got a 7.
I got 16.
11?
Okay, so Volley and Finn, you're going to fail and get picked up by the metal scoop. Melinda, you managed to jump out the way. However, your two companions are being picked up by it.
I don't want to be left behind, so I'm going to jump in the scoop too.
Okay. So as the scoop rises up, you realize that you were inside some sort of metal tray beforehand, and you can see now that you're in some factory, some epically giant factory, and you're actually very small. You're actually on some kind of conveyor belt with other metal trays that have hundreds and thousands of sprites in. You see humans and gnomes walking around that are epically tall compared to you. And then you move around the factory, seeing more of it, and it becomes apparent that you are very small.
Like sprite size?
Yeah.
Whoa, this must be how sprites see the world.
It's terrifying.
And then the bottom, without any warning, just opens up beneath you. And all three of you go falling down into this tall black container. Roll dex to not get hurt on the way down.
I rolled 22.
15.
I rolled a 10.
Okay, so Volley, you're going to take 2 damage as you slam into the bottom of the container.
Yeah, I like land on my face.
I use all my spell slots in one go.
Whoa, bro, you better use your knees, man. Use your knees. Come on, not your face.
Knees, yeah. Land on my feet, not my face.
Not your face, your knees.
Are we in a pile of sprites?
No, you are in a...
Okay.
Very, very dark.
You are in a very dark, tall, empty box. And then the light above you is going to get darker as a hand, it seems to be a gnomish or human hand, brings a lid and puts it on top of the box you're in. And as it does so, the entire space becomes pitch black.
Punk! Punk! Are you in here?
And you will hear, as a sort of reply, but not to you, you will hear a quiet sob somewhere in the box, and the sobbing of a few words you can make out of...
Let me out. Please. Please let me out. Please, I'll be good. I'll be so good. Please. Please let me out. It's so dark. I'm so alone. Please. I want to be free. Please, let me out. Hello? Hello, anyone? Let me out, please.
And they're just quiet sobs in the air.
Can I try and make my way to like, use the sound to direct me to where I should be going?
Sure. Roll dex with disadvantage because it's pitch black.
Okay. 3.
You think you're heading the right way, and then you just headbutt Melinda.
Oh.
Oh, Volley! Sorry. What are you doing?
I'm trying to find Punk. I can hear him, but I can't see anything.
Look, stay still. I can see.
Oh. I can't see!
I will head towards the noise of where Punk's coming from.
You walk through it and you see this small sprite who you recognise as Punk curled up in the corner with its knees up to its chest, just quietly sobbing and saying it doesn't want to be left alone and it's all alone and it's so dark in here.
I'll pick him up. Punk, this is just a dream. This isn't... None of this is real.
I don't want to be alone. Please, please.
You're not alone.
Open it up, please. Let me out. It's so dark. Please.
Melinda, can you bring him to me? And I, Volley holds his hand out. He's like, can you put him in my hand?
Yeah. Melinda, she'll keep trying to reassure Punk as she walks over back over to Volley and places him in his hand.
He seems to sob and mutter to himself, not aware of you talking to him.
Rock. Rock.
Yeah, bro.
Rock.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, it's a bit dark. I got, man.
Punk's in my hand, in my right hand.
Yeah.
You need to go to him.
Yeah, I hear him, man.
You feel him walk down your arm, a bit unsteadily as he kind of feels his way down. And then, Melinda, you see him go over to Punk.
It's all right, man. It's all right. You're right. You're okay. It's all right. I'm here.
Rock, I think it's time. I think Punk needs a little bit of a pick-me-up.
A pick-me?
I think he needs some Sprite dust to shake him out of this.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. I feel all right. Yeah. You want some Sprite dust, Punk? Come on. Hey. It's okay. Come on. Take a bit. Come on. There you go. Oh, you're hungry. All right, you big boy. All right.
Still so.
Yeah.
And then so weird.
There's a moment of quiet as you hear a. And then.
Woo!
There he is!
And Melinda, you see the sprite just shaking with his fist clenched.
Woo! Yeah! That's the stuff. That's it. All right, let's do this. Let's get out of here.
Welcome back, Punk.
No, oh, I'm back, baby. I'm back 110%. I'm back. That's my boy. What did I tell you? That's my boy.
And Melinda, you see this. No one else does. They put their hands on each other's shoulders and go,
woo!
Just headbutt each other. And as the heads collide, you are then back in the factory next to Osric. You see Osric has a shield out. This creature is trying to claw at him, but he's holding it back. In the factory around you, you see other creatures are getting incredibly close to you. You have a few seconds.
I really wish I'd hurry up, guys. Don't know what you're doing in there, but any time now.
Volley holds up the crystals. Is it time to smash this crystal?
Everyone grab one another. We've got to make sure we're touching.
Volley will put his hand onto Osric's shoulder.
Finn will grab Melinda and Volley.
And then?
And Zag's on my shoulder and he's sort of nestling into my backpack.
And then Volley just smashes the crystal on the ground.
And as it smashes, you are then teleported out of that world and back into the mist. The archway is gone, but sat in front of you, legs crossed, sword on lap, you see the red Akuma.
Oh, that was intense.
That was a trip.
Thanks so much for that crystal. Gosh, I don't even know how we'd manage about that.
You survived. Well done.
Thank you? Oh, it's horrible in there. What is that place?
That is the Nightshade. It is a place of lost souls. Those that have died but not have passed on to the right places, or those that have sought to traverse the realms and been lost in the mist.
But who's controlling them in there?
I do not know what it is you speak of.
They're making weapons.
He looks at you. Although his face betrays nothing, you get a sense that he's judging whether what you say is the truth.
We are not allowed to leave the mist.
Can you do anything about it?
But what's going on here?
The mist is a veil between realms. The Akuma is to protect and ensure that creatures do not traverse the veil of the mist between realms. We must follow our rules, that is all we do.
Why would people be making weapons if they're lost in a dream world?
This I do not know. There are forces that have been traversing the mist. Some other Akumas have been killed. We do not know what does this or for what purpose. Traveling the mist between realms is forbidden. It is only for those creatures that you call gods.
Can they help? Do you know them?
I do not know these creatures, no. They make us like they make you, but we have purpose.
Well, that's not very good. Is there anyone you can tell about it?
Who's your manager?
I demand to speak to your manager, D&D character.
We have no manager.
Who gave you your job?
Akuma have purpose. Akuma are born with purpose. Akuma do our purpose.
Yeah, I feel you.
Can you take us to Rowdy? Maybe she'll be able to help.
I can't take you to Rowdy. Follow me and do not stray far.
Hopefully Rowdy will know what's going on. Hopefully she'll be able to tell us why everything's going wrong.
I will take you to Rowdy. Please stay close. There are creatures in the mist that will kill you, but they will not touch you if I am guiding.
Thank you.
Lead the way.
He's going to stand up, put his giant sword over his shoulder, and walk with purpose but slowly through the mist. It takes 15 to 20 minutes, although it's hard to tell time in the mist. And you get to the giant archway, Melinda, that you saw with shining light. And then he puts his sword into the ground and whispers, like he did with the archway before, and the large archway will light up in that black, purple, swirling liquid.
I hope I do not see you again. You are good people. Mortals are not meant to be in the mist. If I see you again, I will have to kill you.
We promise not to intentionally come back to the mist. If we come back by accident, maybe you could, like, give us a drink or some tea and we could have a chat and show us on our way. Rather than kill us?
Some force has hijacked your travel between realms. That is why I do not kill you this time. But if I see you again, I will have to kill you.
Well, fingers crossed.
It is our purpose.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So the archway is in front of us?
Yeah, the archway is in front of you. It's very big compared to the archway that you made previously. He just lit it up effectively inside. It was there already.
I'd like to bow to the Akuma before I leave.
He really awkwardly puts like a hand on your back of your head and then comes back.
To you as well, little one.
Father's going to give him finger guns as he walks past. Hey.
Then I'll just sort of give him a solemn nod.
He again just nods, not quite sure of any of these customs.
Yeah, yes, yes, thank you.
Finn will walk towards the gate and just sort of turn to the guys and go,
well, hopefully Raldi knows what's going on, and hopefully the dream world that they're in is a lot nicer than the one we were in.
Agreed. I really hope nap time is a lot more fun than that was.
Hopefully. Though I don't really want to sleep anymore.
I can agree with that, Polly. I can agree with that.
And with that, Finn will step through.
Yeah, Volley 2.
Mm-hmm. Osric's following?
Yep.
Similar to when he stepped into the other archway, although it's the opposite almost. It's not dark and full of despair and sadness and cries out. It's light. It's full of warmth. The smell of summer on the air, a warm hug, a familiar friend. These are all the things you feel before you appear in the next space. And you all come out into what can only be described as a large throne room. The entire room is covered in pillows. And you hear the clapping and, as hundreds of Koyang are clapping your arrival and celebrating that you've made it. They're all sitting on these different pillows. Some are just eating berries. They're clearly having some form of lavish Rome party, lying down and eating these things. And then dead center in front of you, you see this large half cat, half human hybrid lying down with its plump, large belly.
Does it look a bit like Judi Dench from Cats?
yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Terrifying.
What you see is a very fat, large Judi Dench from Cats just lying there lavishly, sprawled out in that way that cats do.
Finn looks at her thinking, wow, she's really scraping the bottom of the barrel with this roll.
And the lavish half cat, half human Judi Dench creature will turn a lazy head over to you, almost deliberately pretending not to notice the round of applause.
Miss Cherie, I'm so glad to see that you've joined us.
And that is where we'll end our episode.
What? Wow, we finally met Raldi.
I mean, I'm really glad to find out that that place wasn't Raldi's dream world, because otherwise there was going to be some problems with the Koyak.
Yeah.
I'm kind of concerned that she doesn't know what delayed us. Thought she was a god.
The journey getting here has been a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, agreed.
But timey-wimey, I guess.
Timey-wimey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fabled outro of the Tabletop Vagabonds. I'm Craig. Of course, I play Volley, and I'm joined by Mr. Dave, who plays Finn. How are you doing, Dave?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing good. You?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, we saved Punk, we saved Rock, and of course, you saved Zag.
My precious baby boy.
Your precious baby boy, your little red and black. Is he red and black?
Yeah, red, black, and white. Red panda, for short.
You little red panda. got ourselves into a bit of trouble near the end. I thought it was getting a bit hairy, you know, when we were in Punk's dream.
It's like that scene in The Matrix where they're running for the phone and the agents are chasing them, and then they get the phone and they get out.
Except Neo and Trinity and the gang didn't have a stonky Osric to hold them back. We did.
True, true. We did have the wall that is Osric.
We do indeed have Osric the Wall. I like that. We should use that. We should introduce that in a later episode. Just call him a wall and see how he reacts.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
I'm not gonna lie, I was a bit worried at the start of this episode that we weren't ever gonna see Punk, Rock and Zag again, so I'm pretty glad we managed to break them out of their own little dreams.
Oh, I was gonna kick off if Zag was gone.
All that time spent building and nursing him into life, giving him a soul, which apparently these guys have souls, because if they didn't have souls, they wouldn't be lost in the Nightshade.
Indeed.
Yeah, nice little nugget.
Whatever essence-y soul passes into them, but yeah.
Hey, it counts. If they're a lost soul in the Nightshade, then they've got a soul as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
And this just further bolsters Volley's position of sprites are people too and shouldn't necessarily be enslaved, but you know, that's for later down the line, I think.
Yeah, I mean, deal with the world-ending problems in front of us.
Yeah, Volley likes his social justice, but it's not going to take over, I don't think.
So you're looking forward to next time where we get to talk to Dame Judi Dench?
Dame Judi Dench, a.k.a. Raldi. I don't know, Volley's knackered. Volley feels a bit beat. His own nightmare was terrifying. He doesn't know what's happening. He's just spent the time in the Nightshade, had to save Punk and Rock, and of course helped with Zag. I don't know, Volley's exhausted. This is the most he's ever done in his entire life.
Yeah, it's been a pretty heavy day so far for, I think, the entire gang.
A heavy day? I don't know specifically how long it's been since Volley met you guys, but it's been a heavy that amount of time.
I think it's a few weeks.
Yeah, I'd say a few weeks, maybe a month or so. It's been pretty heavy. Volley's, he's learning a lot as he goes.
So, Craig, where can people find out more about our tabletop vagabonds?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Dave. There are several places people can find out about the tabletop vagabonds. One of them is, of course, our wonderful website, tabletopvagabonds.com. You can find out more about the players, more about the characters, a bit about the world of Aria. And, of course, there is a very special button right on the front of our website. It says, boom, click to support us on Patreon, which I totally think you should do. Patreon is where we post extra curricular content, if you like. Of course, the main story will always be free, so don't worry about that. But if you want to hear more fun, crazy, wacky outings from us, the players, where we play all sorts of different one-shots, specifically this month, we are releasing a one-shot of Weekend at Bernie's. Now, if you've seen the film, you should definitely go listen to it. If you haven't seen the film, you should definitely go listen to it, because it doesn't matter at all, because we completely change that film.
Craig and I play the characters and we boss it from start to finish. Perfect encapsulation of the story. No deviations. We stick to it.
Word for word. We don't really.
Yeah, we're basically reading the script.
So Dave, what about the other place people can find out about the Tabletop Vagabonds?
They can also find out about us on our Instagram at Tabletop Vagabonds. And if you walk into the middle of a city and yell at some pigeons, they will hopefully give you some information about us.
This is true. They will also bring information to us. We have carrier pigeons secretly stashed throughout the world, kind of like geocaching, but a bit more in your face. So yeah, go yell at pigeons. Just yell, Tabletop Vagabonds, and see what happens.
And would you also like to thank our editor, the magical Matt, for editing these episodes?
We do the words and he does the technical stuff and he makes us sound even better. So yes, thank you very much, Matt.
For the quality you get, thank him.
Oh yeah. I think we're done here, Mr. Dave.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Let's leave before Alex comes back and tells us off for supplanting him.
I feel like the naughty kid sitting in the headmaster's chair at the moment. I'm getting a bit nervous that he's just going to turn up and yell at us in kind of some weird Aria tongue that we've never heard before.
I was about to say, we might have taken over now, but I feel like he's still in control of the world, so we best not mess anything up.
For now. Until the gang takes over.
Yeah, until we become the new gods, because we're just fighting with every god we meet. Hopefully not Raldi.
No, Finn is fighting with every god we meet.
I am extending his anger to the rest of the party.
Volley rejects said notion and is now interested to see what happens as we meet Raldi.
Indeed. Great, well, it's goodbye from me.
And it's also goodbye from me. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.